Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I like that last song we sang, Come Gracious Spirit. That brought many, many memories. Coming from Weaverland Conference, we often sang that song in the beginning of the service. It just brings back memories. Today is Mother's Day. I don't get a Mother's Day message, sorry. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. You know, as I was thinking of the Sunday school lesson, I was thinking, why doesn't God do more miracles? Wouldn't we believe a little more? But I believe he still is. I'm a miracle. Aren't you a miracle? Sure we are. What he did for us, he saved us. That's a miracle. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He did. Love. That's not my message this morning. But thinking of my message, attitudes that God can bless. Now, I didn't come here thinking, oh, you've got a bad attitude here, okay? This preacher don't know anything about you, all right? This preacher don't know anything about you. But if you're like me, I'm going to preach to myself and you can listen in, all right? Is that a fair deal? All right. Attitudes that God can bless. What is an attitude? It's a feeling or a mood of one's mental being. You know, our attitudes, sometimes we say, oh, that person's wearing a chip on their shoulder. What does it mean by that? Chip on their shoulder. Well, you can tell by their expressions how they feel. Oh, shouldn't we be expressing our feelings? Yeah, we should. We should be expressing our feelings. But maybe some we can bury. Maybe some we can bury. A healthy attitude can be contagious. But don't wait to catch it from someone else. Be a carrier. All right? Be a carrier. You know, it's an everyday choice that things that come our way is how we respond to them. I always say, it is what it is. It is what it is. Don't fret on things you can't control. But change what you can. You know, I'm glad we're all made up of different personalities. I'm glad for that. This would be very boring if we'd be all the same. Very boring place. Our attitudes also shape our character. 10% is what you make out of life, and 90% how you take life. In other words, God chooses what you go through, and we choose how we go through it. There's some choices in life that we make, but there's some choices that God makes. All right? Some choices that God makes. I'm sure a number of us could say God gave us some health issues to work through. Okay? I could give you a health issue of mine, but you don't want to hear it. But you know, that's what God chose for us to go through. Now, how are you going to respond to that? Is an attitude. I can give you I'll just give you a story. I do taxi driving. So I took someone to Washington, D.C. This person had to get some vertebrates in the back here fused together. Serious operation, much pain, headaches, you know, you name it. Doctors here and there, finally, that's where they landed up. But you know, I admire that person. You know why? Congenial, happy. Oh, wow. That was amazing. To meet a person like that, going through experiences like that, you would say, oh my God, I just feel terrible, you know? Well, she couldn't control it. Now, I'll give you another story, talking about attitudes. Mabel and I, before we were married, we went into an unclaimed freight store. I don't know if they have them today anymore or not. I don't know. I don't know that they do. We came in the door. First thing the fella said, how can I help you? Well, I said, we're just looking and looking around, just looking for things. Well, you know what? That's what they all say when they come in here. You think we bought anything? Uh-uh. We didn't buy anything. We were soon out of there. Okay. We may forget some people for what they say, but we'll never forget how they made you feel. Amen? We as Christian people, when we meet people, how do we make them feel? Okay? That's very, very important if you're going to win someone to the Lord. Remember that. First of all, I like to go to Luke 6. Luke 6. Right attitudes are necessary for a balanced living. It's nice if you are felt needed. It's nice if you're felt wanted. And it's nice if you're felt loved. Remember them three things. Needed, wanted, and loved. All right. Luke 6. Verse 43, for a good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of his evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So, what's in the heart overflows out of your mouth. No secret. What's in here comes out. So our what motivates us, what interests we have, flows forth from us. The human heart is like a treasury or a storehouse. What we speak is what comes from within. So, and in essence, we are made of body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So, our soul is you. What you really are, your soul, is what you are. And you know what? When no one else is around, is really what you are. Right? When no one else is around, that's really what you are. Think about it. You always have, you know, we see signs. Smile, you're on camera. You are on camera. Our Heavenly Father's watching. So it's very important that our expressions, what we say, what we do, you know, we are expressing ourselves, what is within. So it is important and necessary to have a balanced part, having a balanced life. and right attitudes. Now, how can we express, how can, what is the main ingredient in your life to have a balanced attitudes? Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I don't have a, what you would say, a text that I read, and I'm just going to jump around and throw in some verses here to carry out the ideas that I have on my mind. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's a verse we have at Rodney's overnight. That's a verse we said this morning, right? He said that's on a garbage truck. They do recycling. We're not recycled. That's not how we become new. We are born again. That's how we become new. Spiritually. We get a changed heart. All things become new. When God controls our life, we can rest and trust in God. Let's think of God a little bit. In order to trust someone, you have to know that person, right? You don't trust, hardly any of us trust anybody that walks in here and, oh, yeah, I'm so-and-so, and I trust you. Oh, really? You have no credentials? Well, we're skeptical, right? But if you know God, then you can trust him, right? Isn't that how it is? Can you feed all the birds in the world? Elon Musk is probably the wealthiest man. You think he could feed all the birds in the world with all his finances? I don't think he can. I don't think so. He wouldn't have enough finances. God can. He knows when a sparrow drops to the earth. He knows how many hairs are in your head. Imagine, can you trust a God like that? Of course you can. He knows more about you than maybe you know about yourself. Put your hands into him. You know, if we have a trust like that, it affects our attitude. It affects how we live and how we respond to life. We understand God to be a loving God, not an angry God, a loving God. Now, in my life, I worked with Jehovah's Witness. And they have a faulty idea that if you don't make it to heaven, you get burned up in a couple seconds and then you're gone. Is that true? Thank you, brother. That is not true. You can't burn your spirit. Okay, when you die, you leave this body here because it's made of this stuff around the earth. You know, it's made of this stuff. You leave that body here. Your spirit goes to God who gave it. You can't destroy your spirit. Even though when you get your uncorruptible body, you can't destroy it. That's a faulty idea. Supposing I would believe that. How do you think I would live? Huh? Well, if I don't make it, so what? Huh? Is that a right and correct? God didn't, no, that's not what God said. There's only two places, there's heaven and hell. So we must understand and believe what God says. In Psalms 46, not sure which verse that is, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. The word feared there simply means respect. We respect God for who he is. We must give God his rightful place. And then in Psalms 128:1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, trusteth the Lord, and respects the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You know, that's rest. when we come to grips that we can trust a God with our life, having a balanced view of God. We serve a living God, a loving God, a mighty God, and a just God. He's a just. You know, when we try to bring justice, you know, man tries to bring justice to wrongs, okay? There's some wrongs that we're not going to bring justice to, okay? We're going to let that in the hands of God. God does it perfectly. Man gets it a little mixed up. But we are thankful for the justice system in this country. If we wouldn't have no justice system for wrongs, we would live in a pretty bad place. But there are some things that God's going to bring justice to. All right. Another attitude that God can bless. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, this is King Solomon. When King Solomon became king, he had an attitude of humility. I want to read from verses 7 through 12. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant, that's himself, he's talking about himself, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for judgment, understanding, discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise alike unto thee. You know, God did bless King Solomon for his request, because he did not ask for personal gain, but for wisdom and for understanding heart. You know, Solomon had an attitude of humility. Solomon felt a need. Solomon had a teachable spirit, willing to learn. He also had a servant spirit, willing to serve. In verse 9, Solomon asked to give him an understanding heart. Because no matter how wise or how smart a mind may be, but if the heart is wrong, you know, that is where all things begin from, then everything is wrong. You know, he needed a listening, understanding heart. That's what the understanding means. It means a listening heart, a learning heart. You know, this happened many years ago, but you know, that's still prevalent today. We need an understanding heart. Learn to listen. Now, looking at Paul's life, I want to get another response on how Paul responded to his attitude. He had an attitude, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, Paul, it is sad to say, but Paul thought he was doing the right thing. But he was innocently doing the right thing. He thought he was doing the right thing. But God put him on the right track. But yet, he had a humble spirit and a willing spirit. You know, at the cross, The ground is level. Equal opportunity. All are saved by grace. And then in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. Humble himself as a little child. I think that verse simply means we must trust in God. Trust. You know, God has two thrones. One in the highest heaven, and where's the other one? Is he thrown in here, in your heart? Okay, that's my another scripture here is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but their countrywise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, I'm going to make a comment here. Now, notice what it says. For he that loves life and wants to see good days, what does it say then? Understand this. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. In other words, have a clear conscience. You'll enjoy life with a clear conscience. I think that's what that verse means. Our attitudes at home will affect church because the church is made up of homes. Every father should remember one thing. His son will follow his example instead of his advice. Because actions speak louder than words. You can talk a lot, but if your actions don't correspond to what you're saying, probably they won't be heard. And I just want to put another little plug in here. You know, mother and father, how you relate. Your children are watching. Your children are watching. You know, verse 8 there, it says compassion and pitiful. Compassion one for another. Love for the brethren. Love is the stem and root of a plant. Compassion and pity and courtesy are the branches of love. You know, how the love of the home, how we respond at home, reaches out to our communities, to our churches. You know, when I used to go to work, I still work, but I don't have to go travel to go to work. But anyhow, when I used to go to work, it's the end of the day, I usually say, now it's time to go home to mom. I didn't say my mom, but I say it's time to go home to mom. Isn't that a good place to go? I enjoy home. I hope you all do. Enjoy home. Evening meal should be a time of sharing. Like when you have older ones, younger ones. Hey, you got a variety of subjects. What was your day like? Take an interest in each other. What was your day like? Well, this went well, this went this way. Help them through it. Number two, respect and appreciation for each other. Thank you, please. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, sir. You ever hear? You know what? I can think of a family right now. You do something, he say, yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir. Respect. Oh, children, you know what I like to see? Did you ever open the door for an old grandma and old grandpa like us? Do you ever do that? Do that. Do that. You're doing something. know what? We can have a negative attitude too. We can have always dark sunglasses on. I help different people through. Different girls have been gone through our houses, and one of my famous saying was, "Take your dark sunglasses off. Take your dark sunglasses off. If everything looks dark, life will be one misery." Well, I like the parents-teachers connection at school as well. That's a good connection. It's an important role, molding children for life. Teachers, I don't know if there's any teachers here. Probably are. I'll just speak to yous. You know what? Some of the things you do as teachers will never be forgotten by your students. Our oldest daughter come home sometimes, she said, "Oh, brother, so-and-so said this and this and this." Oh, really? That was many years ago. But they remember. Okay, next point. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Respecting of authority is my next point. Let's go to 1 Samuel 31. First Samuel 31. Okay, this is the time of Saul's death. Remember Saul and David, how Saul was after David all the time, and yeah, he was had a disrespect for David, and David was always on the run, but you never heard that he had a disrespect for Saul. Okay, that's what I want to bring forth. I'm not sure how much verses we should read. Well, let's start at verse 1. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down and slain in Mount Gilba. And the Philistines followed and hard upon Saul and upon his sons," and he gives them a list of names I can't pronounce, "and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded from the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, 'Draw the sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest the uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But the armor bearer would not." Listen to that. He would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it." Remember that? Okay, remember that. That's the point I want. Saul killed himself. All right? Also, the armor bearer and his sons did the same thing. All right? Remember that fact. Now, let's go to a couple pages to 2 Samuel. First chapter. "And it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned to the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag." Remember that incident? "And it came as to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, which his clothes rent and the earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, 'From whence comest thou?' And he said unto him, 'Out of the camp of Israel I escaped.' And David said unto him, 'How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me.' And he answered, 'That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also.' That's true. And David said unto the young man that told him, 'How knowest that thou Saul and Jonathan his son be dead?' Now listen to the story. And the young man that told him said, 'As I happened by chance, come upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered him, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray upon me, I pray thee upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he was fallen. I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I have brought the hither to the Lord. A lie. All right? That's a lie, right? What did we first read? That was a lie. He didn't kill him. And David took hold on his clothes and rent them. Likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and his Jonathan, his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. David said unto the young man that took him, Whence art thou? And he said, I am a son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Listen to what David said, the Lord's anointed. And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him and smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head. Thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have a sword slayed the Lord's anointed. He thought he was going to come to David and get some glory because he slew. He thought that Saul was David's enemy. And he felt he was going to get some glory because he slew his enemy. But he lost his life because he said a lie. You know, I thought about that. Did David really know what happened? Did David know what happened? I'm not sure. You know, David could have had the attitude, I'm going to be the next king. He knew that. Saul's my enemy. Take care of the matter. Go on with life without a cross-bearing life. No more fugitive, no more running. But in David's mind, Saul was the Lord's anointed. Respect for the Lord's anointed. I think God blessed him for that. With victories and protection. I don't know how the young boy felt, but he lost his life. You know, wasn't true what he told David. I had to think of our last Sunday's lesson. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they were deceitful in what they said they brought forth, and what they brought forth, that was deceitful. And this boy was deceitful, and the same judgment was passed upon him as well. All right, another attitude that God can bless. Contentment. And a favorite verse of mine, 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Contentment is a God-given feeling when we accept God's control of life. You must remember that God is our creator. He richly blesses us, all things to enjoy. Remember how Job had it. You know, you didn't hear much complaining from Job, did we? But God blessed him. Contentment comes when we are satisfied with the talents that God has blessed us with and we use them for God's glory. Remember one thing, brethren and sisters, there's only one person like you. Only one. Just one. You're not duplicated. You might look like exactly like someone else, but you're not duplicated in talents. So be content for who you are. Be content with your lot in life. When God gives you a lemon, make lemonade, the best of it. have a positive outlook in life. I want to give you another illustration here of Paul and Silas when they were in prison. We just went through that in Sunday school, okay? They were put in prison. Well, no, this was a different incident because this was Paul and Silas. This is Acts 16. What did they do when they were in prison? Oh, my. I can't believe we're here. I just can't believe it. We were treated so unfair. What did they do? Prayed. And what else? Sang. That, I believe, instilled what God did next. What did God do? Well, there was an earthquake. God responded with an earthquake, and their bands were loosened. And there was someone saved because they sang. And then, you know, I just had to think of that. What an attitude. Thinking of singing. I remember something years ago. There was an Alvin Martin on his, I'm not sure if he died soon after. We were in the hospital singing to him. And we found out the next day his roommate got saved. Did we think we're going to save someone that day by singing? We had no idea. We were doing what we thought was best. You don't know what you do or say, what your attitude you take, you might instill someone, oh, God, I got to get my life straight. Okay, I'm closing here. Two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing. Your attitude when you have everything. I think that says it pretty good. Another quote, I never lose. Either I win or I learn. Ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it. I'll say that again. Ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it. I'm living in the room of improvement. That's where I'm living. I'm not perfect. I'm still improving. I trust that's where we're all at. We're still improving. We're still improving ground. We're still living, right? We're still in proving ground. But I hope I can encourage you to go forth and keep pressing on. Let us kneel to pray.